Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 735. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Nobody say anything to get us canceled this week. I'm looking at you, Jeff.
What happened?
We're good. Jeff doesn't know what's up. Earl is here.
I'm just going to say this now. I think Jeff should apologize for what he's about to say. And if he does it, I'm going to take us off the air until he does and donate some money. So,
good news, YouTube already has. So, I don't know if there's anything Jeff can say that can throttle our views and listens any more. Jeff is here as well.
I love America.
Probably is something worth apologizing for these days.
Yeah, apologize for that, Jeff. Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a week. I mean, everyone is, but this one has felt just incredibly long.
And it has been a week, hasn't it?
I've just kind of like stayed silent on the internet. I thought that was the best choice of operation for me. So
absolutely, there's no good direction to walk.
No.
this is what I always tell people. I mean, we have it because we have the Discord. You know, apparently that does not mean anything anymore.
But, right.
Yeah, it's like find avenues to not necessarily have every one of your thoughts shared to a bunch of people you may or may not know well. There are avenues to have it shared with people who you can kind of trust or account for who they are. And there's very, very little chance of it going out into a sphere to create any bigger headaches for you.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know why, like, I've said a little bit here and there over the last week, but like, I don't know why people feel the need to like have their take on everything. It's just like,
right.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a take. I'm not saying you shouldn't share thoughts. I'm just saying that.
But it's not your job. Like, you don't have to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you could think what you think and fucking go about your life and like.
And again, you can comment on it and everything. It does not make, you don't have to. One, you don't have to, people don't have to feel guilty that they don't show as much passion as you. You don't have, like, it's like if people want to tweet or mention nonsense, that's on them. More, I think everybody has a right to protect their personal peace. And I think that comes in different forms. For some people, that is very much like messaging through it. And, but that does not mean that everybody else is not like processing it in their own way. Or again, like I said, we discuss stuff, not just serious stuff. I mean, we talk gaming news, TV news, and everything else, because there's I have social media, but I'm not gonna sit there and like share all of my inane thoughts with everybody just because I can.
Yeah,
you can keep it in. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, and I think, like, as to Jeff's point, there are people on there, though, that, like, act like this. It is their job to, like, debate everybody on the internet or bring every point up and comment. Just, like,
I think people feel like, they're, like, obligated to have to say something about the moment. But it's, like, one, you're not going to say anything that, like, a million people haven't already said. And you don't have to. Like, I don't know. You could use, if you're on social media, you could use it to just talk about video games or whatever the fuck you want. Like, it's fine. Like,
and even then, you don't always have to talk about video games because some people talk about some nonsense. We'll get to stuff today because people get angry at the weirdest thing.
Lot of things.
Yes. Like I mentioned this on social media this week because it happened, and I think it's so funny. Oh crap, I forget what movie it was, but some movie's coming out on like a streaming service that looks really good. People are like, oh man, it sucks. I really want to see this in theater. But I'm like 2 months ago, you folks were like, I can't wait for Jurassic World. I can't wait for Superman. I can't wait for X, Y, and Z to hit streaming. So it's either you want to go to the theaters and support movies that are there, or you want to stay home. You got to pick a thing. And I know it's not the same people complaining, but it's very similar people. And a lot of this isn't necessarily social media. A lot of times this is like, you know, I'm so active on a video game forum. And yes, okay. I mean, to get into the news a little bit, people are upset that Donkey Kong had DLC 2 months after launch because they feel like that's cut content from the game that they were robbed of. Same people are mad that Mario Kart World does not have DLC yet. And Nintendo needs to get work on that because they need to get people back interested in Mario Kart World. Like, you can't say that one game having DLC in 2 months is a ripoff. Another game not having DLC in 3 months is it's bad for you. But yes, gamers are very special people.
I'm just saying bananas don't last all that long. So like, if your game has been out for 2 months and all the bananas have gone bad, you need more. Yeah. That's all.
Did anybody pick up the DLC for Donkey Kong?
No.
I sent it to beat the game.
Yeah, I am now in, I think I'm two levels away. I'm in level 1400.
I think I'm right. No, not right behind you. At 12 or 13. Whichever one is when you get spoilers, I guess, for a 2-month-old game. The Snake Bonanza?
Mm-hmm.
I just got that yesterday. And I would pay more of it, but when we get to what we've been paying, it's something else kind of took my attention for a little bit, or is taking my attention.
I think that's level 1200, because yeah. Then I think the next one after that is pretty neat. It's like a food-based one, but it's short, fairly short, and then I'm the one after that.
Some of them are so weird, like the racing one?
Yeah, I did not like that one.
I beat the race the first time. I'm like, oh, okay, so what do you do? Oh, that's the end of it.
Yep, that was it. Just jump in the hole.
I'm like, okay.
I like Donkey Kong quite a bit. I do think it might be a bit too long.
I think so.
I just thought finished it much quicker. But.
Yeah, I just when I saw the DLC, I'm like, this doesn't look like something I'm interested in. That's all.
I heard it's a roguelike roguelite, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Nah. And I've moved on from the game, so it's just like,
yeah.
And that's the thing. I think you need DLC early on so that people, it's a single-player game. Like Mario Kart, you will come back to when new people get it. You want to show your friends and whatever. Donkey Kong has a shelf life. And it's going to get shorter and shorter as the weeks progress, as we'll get to, again, I guess we'll get to now.
Like bananas. Like real bananas.
Yeah, that is. It's exactly like a real banana. It's starting to turn, get that
that brown.
Brownish edge around it and...
Oh, banana.
Right. Still a tasty banana if you bite into it, but soon it's going to be mushy. And
you got to make banana bread instead.
Because
else their banana.
Because Super Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2 are coming out in 2 weeks.
Yes.
But I mean, in 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks is October 2nd.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks from today? Or something like that.
But yep.
Even before that, we had a Nintendo Direct last Friday, which is a weird one.
Yes. But
Thursday was some weird day. We didn't do anything in America. So Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 were announced. They're Switch titles with Switch 2 upgrades. It looks like it supports 4K, has additional control options, assist mode. Up 2 adds, I assume, the storybook stuff that was dropped out of it originally. Miyamoto didn't like story in Galaxy 1, so they got rid of it in Galaxy 2, which, oddly enough, I think one of the reasons people prefer Galaxy 2 is it's more streamlined process. That's out October 2nd. $40 for each one individually, or $70 for them together.
Yeah.
And of course, this set off a discussion about, is it too much? And value is always in the eye of the beholder. And I will just say with 150% honesty, I'm super biased. Two of the greatest games of all time.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. I am paying $70 for this.
Like, yeah, like, I believe I'm also paying $70 for this. I don't think
it's one of those things where I'm like, it's not like, oh man, what am I getting? I'm like, I'm getting two amazing, amazing games. Like, yeah. To me, two staples of what I would consider like a 10-10 experience. And the game still looks good, but like sharper resolution, it looks really nice in the trailer they showed. But I get it, people are very iffy on it, and that's fine. But I was just like, God damn, I might only get two because I still have one on the 3D All Stars collection, but I might just get both of them. Yeah.
Yes, that is maybe my most anticipated release in the next few weeks. Like, I am super excited for both of those. We also got a little other Mario news there. I guess there was actually more than just a little
minutes,
bit.
The first 20 minutes was dedicated to Mario because Mario 40. I think Mario's actual anniversary was last Friday, which is probably why they did it. Or the 13th in Japan, so they did it at night. The big one for them, like they said, the main event for his 40th is that the next movie, which I think we knew was dated for April of next year, is called the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Most likely introduced Rosalina. I don't think they only cast, they announced were returning people. And the only thing there of note, I think, was that they didn't say anything about Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong in that movie. So he might be gone. And I would not be surprised if it's for a Seth Rogen-centric Donkey Kong spinoff.
That makes sense. They did we did get like a look at a Luma, though, I think.
I thought Luma was in the first one. It's the creature in the cage.
Yeah, yep, that's like, true.
Great death or whatever.
Yes, that's the super depressed Luma.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's coming. Jeff is super excited. April 3rd. He'll be first in line because he loves
movie of the year. Movie of the year.
I mean, potential. I mean, the first one made what $1.4 billion, and I honestly don't see anything that would prevent the second one from doing it because people weren't caring if the movie was good or not. They just got Mario references and they were happy, and I'm sure this will deliver more of that.
Yep. A new Yoshi game was also announced there. I was not thrilled with what that was, but we'll see.
I never am, right? Like, right? It's like the C-tier platformer.
I did like it's not like super deep, but I did like Crafted World. I liked playing through it. I don't know. It probably doesn't hold up on a second playthrough.
And I was gonna say, I think one of those things, and it's fascinating because I do kind of get why. I like the idea of doing these, I guess, more kid-friendly platformers. But the thing with Yoshi is, like, because his first major game is such a seminal 2D platform for so many people, I think people want that higher canon. And Nintendo's like, no, we're gonna dumb it down a bit more. No, dumber. Okay, there we go. What is the one on N64? Is that Yoshi's Story? Or Yoshi's
Adventure? Yeah.
One of those. Yeah. And that was kind of the start of like, oh, the whole fruit-centric thing, and it's like super easy, and people just... Every time they announce a new Yoshi game, people hope it's going to be like Yoshi's World.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great game, but... yeah, what was the last one was Crafted World. I like that one.
Or was it Woolly's World?
Woolly World was on the Wii U. Crafted World was on the Switch. It was Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story. I don't even know what this was. Yoshi's Universal Gravitation?
No idea what that is.
In the U.S. Okay, that's the Japanese title. In North America, it was Yoshi's Topsy Turvy,
which I do think that name I have heard. Again, I've not played that
GBA title, so it might be on the might be on the GBA channel. Then Yoshi's Island DS, Yoshi's New Island, which was a 3DS game, then Woolly World, which is Wii U and also 3DS, then Crafted World on the Switch, and now Yoshi and the Mysterious Book on Switch 2. I'm just not like, I did not like what this one was had going, like visually. Like I don't really care about the storybook push on it, but whatever. I'm sure it'll be fine. There's one other. Where's I'm trying to find it? There is a Super Mario Wonder DLC coming.
Yes, but it was a few more announcements. Because it's the Wonder Switch 2 edition with Meet at Mark. Like, they really need to work. Like, you could just say Wonder Switch 2 edition. You don't like just Marbury Park Meet or something like that.
Meet up in Bella Belle Park.
Okay, there we go. And that looks like Mario Party in the 2D Mario games. Or, is it New Super Mario Brothers? I think that does kind of like the multiplayer mode inside that. And it's like mini games that collect the most coins, wear a crown, defeat the most enemies and stuff like that. It does look like there's going to be additional like single player content as well. But they didn't highlight that, so they said they'll speak to us in the future about that. So we shall see. And then there was a new Mario Tennis.
Yeah, Mario Tennis Fever. That looks fun.
I feel like Mario Tennis has been like, it looks fun for like the last three entries, and then people get to play it. And though I think Aces was well received, I think. And that was the one on the Switch. But yeah, I feel like none of them have really reached the highs of the GameCube one, which is Power Smash or Power Tour or something. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, well, I like that there's like an adventure mode that they've tacked onto it. That looks fun.
That's really useful. I do like that. I also just like that Nintendo being Nintendo is like, we have to come up with a story. So like, they got turned into their baby forms and don't know how to play tennis, so you have to teach them how. Like, you didn't have to go through all that, but sure.
There's a bunch of other stuff here, but I think I was on the Mario stuff, but unless you...
I think that's all the Mario stuff.
Okay. The one that I'm, like, most interested in and is also the dumbest possible thing. Nintendo's bringing the Virtual Boy to the Switch and Switch 2.
This makes no sense. Why? Why are you bringing this thing?
Just put more GameCube games up.
It's so dumb.
Hey, it's dumb, but I mean, okay. I
think it's even dumber, though. Like, it's dumber than what I just said.
It's like, I miss bleeding. We should bleed people to cure disease. And, like, let's bring back leeches, because...
Well, don't give RK ideas.
You need to even play these. You need to either buy the $30 cardboard version or the $100 plastic Virtual Boy replica version. Because they're not playable without that, I guess. I mean, I guess you could build your own cardboard Virtual Boy, but...
Somebody's got to do like a 3D printout of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not... I guess I'm just... I've never played the Virtual Boy. I mean, I assume most people haven't.
No.
It was not a very successful system. But what am I trying to say? But like, this is just so insane that I kind of might care for it. Because, yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but we're going to do it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Why the hell not? Why the hell not? Because you're Nintendo.
It is so, so dumb. I am with you, Jeff. I would prefer they just release more GameCube games.
Yeah.
And they will. You just got to get... I mean, I think they released games today, or... Yeah.
But did they release one? Nothing for the GameCube, though, right? Because was it an N64 game?
Was it an N64? Oh, yeah. No, we talked about Forsaken. I think it was like, I forget what GBA games they released recently.
Yeah, support GBA and GameCube on there. I would love that, but
I mean, they do. They get
just not enough.
I think, I mean, you do get to a point where you just don't have as many games you control. So this is another way to pad out a year where like you can do like one virtual port game every month, every other month for like a year. Because the N64 doesn't have a ton of like first party titles. The GameCube doesn't have a ton of first party titles. And a lot of those are also prime real estate. I mean, they just released Sunshine. Everybody's always craving like a Wind Waker HD. Metroid Prime just got an HD remake, 2 years ago? Twilight Princess has an HD version. So these are games you can kind of spruce up and sell to people for 60, 70 bucks.
Well, they did just give us, like, they gave us Wind Waker, though, on the GameCube channel. So, like, they could give us Sunshine again. Somebody would be thrilled with that.
I mean, yay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be, but like somebody would be excited.
I guess there's Sims everywhere.
Anything else from? I mean, there was a. It was a long. It's almost like an hour long. There was a lot of stuff here.
What I was going to talk about, the one I talk about, like Galaxy is coming up, and that's soon. But also, Hades 2 is out next week, and that's a big one. I feel sorry for any indies who were like, we're going to release our game in September between Hollow Knight and Hades 2. Still in your thunder. You don't really have much of a say.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are big Fire Emblem people. That was, I think, the big closer here.
I just feel like I should learn it someday because everyone that plays it loves it. But
I enjoy them. The thing for me with the, because I own, I think, three houses. It's like one of those games I want to get to because I enjoyed Awakening and Fates. But then every time I'm like, oh, I should start this, I look at how long to beat it. It's like 50, 60 hours. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good.
I started that game and like there's just so much story content to get to the actual strategy.
That's the other thing. I wouldn't care about any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do it.
And a big part of it especially I think since Awakening, is that a lot of it is like the social, I think they've always had that social aspect, but like a lot of it is in between battles, having these conversations with all these people to build up their affinity so that they can do better in combat. And like, yeah, it's just sitting through conversations that I'm just skipping through. I don't know your name. You're gonna go die for me at war. I'm an American.
And they're like school children. Like let me recruit you, oh child, to send you to war and die.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that is just a trope for Japanese games in general. I mean, like, how many Final Fantasy characters are probably under 20?
I mean, let's ignore what military recruiters do. But
yeah. But like, yeah, I mean, like, you'll get these games and like the old person on the team will be 30 and be like, I've lived most of my life. I'm ready to die. Like, what? What's going on here? Like, one of my favorites is Adult Link in Ocarina of Time. Is what, 14? Because Kid Link is only 7, right? And it's 7 years that they skip.
Sure. I'm not 100% on that.
But he's not like Adult Link is a teenager.
He's not adult. He's not
right. He's
like, we're adults. He's not that.
Right.
He can't vote. He can't drive a car. So, yeah, not much of an adult.
One that Jeff was excited for and is not a Nintendo property. It's also coming to everything else, but Dragon Quest VII Reimagined was announced.
Yeah, that'll be day one for me.
It looks good.
Yeah, like I don't know. You know, I've only played 11,
mm-hmm.
but as far as I know, 7 was like originally kind of more of an old school style. Like, maybe I'm totally wrong on this. And like
7 was a PlayStation game, so yeah.
So like this like looks like it was like reimagined to be like Dragon Quest XI, like where, you know, it's fully 3D and all that. So
yeah,
unless 7 was 3D, like I don't know, but I'm just assuming it wasn't.
It kind of
yeah,
like not like this. Like this looks way better than that, but yeah, it looked good. It's, but it did not, like, this looks way more modern. And
yeah, so I'm excited for that, because Lord only knows what the hell is going on with 12. Obviously, like, I think that's, everyone would like 12 to come, but this is something cool in the meantime.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I assume in 12 is them waiting for the Switch or something, the Switch 2 to really kind of cement itself in Japan, because it's not the PlayStation 5, and I think Japan is still their biggest market. So,
but that is—it's
been a long time.
I mean, it's a Square Enix game, so that game will be coming to, like, when 12 eventually hits, it'll be coming to everything, because Square's kind of sworn off exclusives. And 7 Reimagined is coming to everything next February. So I'm trying to see anything else here. Like, the Switch is getting a lot of games that, like, everybody else is getting to, right? Like Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection coming to Switch. There's a Suika game, which Earl, you talked about, that they're getting a sequel.
Yes, they're getting a sequel. That's kind of Galaxy with the whole big gravity thing where you can rotate now instead of just drop it from above. Yep. I will just, you know, be remiss not to mention Jeff. I don't know where Jeff is on this game, but Metroid Prime 4 was dated for this year. It's coming in December.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the Popucom trailer?
Yes, that is interesting.
So
him there that I wanted to get, but Sword Dancers or something answers. It's a roguelike that's like a 2D beat 'em up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm into this.
Is Storm Lancers?
Yes,
it has a neat visual style to it.
I mean, I think the big thing for Nintendo or their ecosystem is they got, or they're getting, Resident Evil Requiem day and date with the other consoles.
Yep.
They don't often get big third party games like that. Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out in January, and I think they also announced, just in the broader scheme of things, that the trilogy will be coming to Xbox and Switch too, at the same time, I think, going forward. So I assume the third one will be completed on all systems instead of being exclusive to PlayStation for a year.
Oh, nice. That's great news. I will replay 7 Remake again when it hits Xbox. I don't know if I probably wouldn't pick it up on Switch, but I will replay it again when it hits in January. And then 7 Rebirth, I guess, will probably come later next year. Yeah. So Nintendo has their lineup seems solid the rest of the year. What, Pokemon in October?
I mean, Mario and Pokemon in October.
Yeah.
Hyrule Warriors and Kirby in November, and Metroid in December.
Metroid in December, yeah. So pretty packed.
Yeah, and then the exclusive home of Hades 2 at launch, at least console-wise. Because I don't think that's coming to other systems next week.
No, it'll hit. Like, it's already on Steam, yeah. and PC, so, like, I guess if you want to play it there, it'll be available, but I guess console-wise, Switch is your place for Hades 2.
Yes, and then the other one, I don't know if this is in any of our ballpark, but I have seen some interest, and I can see it doing well because of the brand and people who have their cozy games. Is it Pokepolia?
The Pokopia.
The Pokemon Animal Crossing Stardew Valley Minecraft S game.
Yes. This game that I'm shocked didn't exist already.
Well, I mean, it has that cursed ditto in it. That's why.
So, Jeff, is this a you game?
The what?
The Pokemon Pokopia, which is like Animal Crossing.
Maybe.
It's also, it's given me, what was that game you played when the Switch 2 came out?
Fantasy Life.
It's given me like that kind of feel to it too.
Another pretty great game in the genre.
When's that one? That's next year, 2026.
Yeah.
Cool. Lots of stuff coming. Go ahead, Tony.
They can't interfere with Pokemon ZA. That's the next Pokemon game. You can't like.
I hope that game runs really well. I'm kind of interested in it. I like the last one. Was that Arceus?
Arceus. Yep.
Yeah, that one was kind of cool, and this one is, it's set in like a more like futuristic city. Like, I'm kind of interested in how this one plays out. Like, I think this could be fun too.
But it's just in the city.
it is just in the city. Yes, it's in just the XY.
Yeah, city. Lumio City. I mean, it's huge. It's like massive. So like, it's like setting a game in New York City. Like, it's not.
Cool. I'm
it won't feel.
I think I'll be playing that one. That actually comes out the day I leave for Vegas, so maybe I'll just like download it as I'm getting on the airplane. It's like that seems like a game you could play on a flight to Vegas. Like, until your Switch dies 2 hours in. It's actually, I get about 3 hours of life playing Donkey Kong, so maybe 3 hours.
Not terrible.
No.
Batteries. You need batteries.
Yeah. I mean, I have like a nice, like one of those ones you like a, I don't know.
I don't even
battery pack
you.
Or.
I don't mean you. I just mean in general, battery tech is just something that really they need to work on.
Oh, definitely.
And not exploding.
But I was just thinking, like, that would extend my life if I, like, charged my nice...
Oh, portable battery.
Yeah, my portable battery. And then I could plug it into that on the airplane and get probably an extra hour or two out of it. All right, so that is everything coming to the Switch and Switch 2 over the next I don't know, it looks like some of that stuff was pushing out into middle of next year, so
I would say probably summer of next year, and then I'm sure they'll do something January, February to kind of get the ball rolling for next year. Where do people even go for news anymore? Game Informer hasn't really been updated since last week, and no stuff happened this week.
I've been using Polygon. Yeah.
Are they reliable again?
I have no idea. What I have.
Well, I mean, if are they updating?
The problem for me, and I mean, I understand why it's just frustrating, is that so many places now just do everything. So you're watching like TV news and movie news, and I'm like, yeah, I'm for that, but it's just weird when you just want to make a video game news.
I don't see anything here news wise up on Polygon.
I mean, I guess just to tie into the general insanity of this year, somebody was fired from Ghost of the Otai because they shared their opinions on certain events from last week after being at the studio for 10 years. And it's so dumb how many people got fired or whatever, reprimanded for, in some cases, just using people's words that they said.
And apparently, yeah, I think that was the like where I don't think anybody was like going. I'm not saying nobody wasn't celebrating. I'm sure there were definitely people doing that, but Like a lot of people,
nobody prominent, like,
right?
No actual like person that people listen to has said anything but that was horrible. What happened? Like,
and all I saw from people that like where I was seeing people posting about him was, hey, maybe don't treat him like a hero because like here's the shit that he said.
And yeah, there were people that got like fired for being like, I don't I think some of the stuff he said was terrible, but he shouldn't have been killed. And then that was like enough for people like to like get that, fired. Yeah. Like what?
Well, that's insane.
I don't see what you have to agree with him now. Like that makes no sense.
Absolutely insane on that front, but also why? Like a lot of the reason why I was just like, nope, it's not worth waiting in here. Comment. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like I'm not going to change anybody's mind.
Yeah.
Like, no. even if I know them. Also, that Facebook was there was a lot of mask off going on there, like with Jeez. People that. And I know you aren't on Facebook anymore, Jeff, because they ejected you, fortunately. and Tony's kind of shut down Facebook.
I deleted my Facebook a while ago, so I feel a lot happier without it. And I'm happy to not read the comments that are happening.
Yeah, Earl, I think you still have a Facebook.
I do.
I don't utilize it for anything other than like sometimes there's like sweepstakes and shit that like you need a Facebook account for.
Honestly, most of the time it just ends up being like it's just one of those things. Like I still have my Twitter account. It's more just to exist because I like having that history. Because I mean I've had Facebook since going back to college. So every so often it's like, hey, remember what you were doing like 15 years ago? I'm like, no, but thank you. I guess here's some pictures from whatever.
Oh, these are very grainy because the iPhone camera was terrible then.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was just like people I'm not like friends with, but people that I know that like I'm Facebook friends with because like their kid did something with my kid at one point and we needed a way to communicate with each other. It's like, holy shit, a lot of you people are awful.
Yeah. No, there's a few people because, again, one, it doesn't show you anything in order. And I went on and I've seen some people say stuff. I'm like, you know what? We don't talk. I don't need you in my life. I don't. I'm not on here often enough to care. So,
but yeah. So it was a good visual record of like I don't actually want to associate with some of these people.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So that guy was fired from Ghost of Yotai. I'm sure there were some other game-related firings over the incident over the last week. So watch what you say out there, folks.
Did you guys hear, I got to derail this just real quick.
Yeah,
did
no.
Did you guys hear that some teacher showed like her 10-year-old students the video of the assassination?
Why? No. Why would you do that? Why?
That to me is insane. Like
that is you're asking to be fired.
Yeah, like I actually don't know if she got fired or not. I imagine she did.
I'd like to think there are punishments more than firing for something like that. Like showing that kind of thing to children.
It was traumatizing for me to watch, you know, and I've grown up on like gore and shit like that. And it was just like, dude, like I was telling Chris, like, you didn't see it. Don't watch it, dude. Just don't watch.
No, don't look. You don't need to see that.
You know what?
Show it to 10-year-old kids, like, dude, oh my God. Like,
absolutely insane.
Yeah.
What was that, Earl?
I was trying to think, what's the process there?
I have no idea what her thought process was like. That
maybe historical importance or like, hey, this is the result of gun violence. But it's like
kids are already terrified of gun violence. Right? Maybe comparing it, like I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know, but like the video is like extremely disturbing, and it's
you show it like right alongside the Zapruder film, and you're like, okay. This is how someone gets assassinated.
I guess. I don't know.
Like, that does, like, maybe in a, I could see.
College course?
Yes, a college course, maybe, like, high level, like, in high school.
Also,
like,
hey, if you don't want to see this, you could leave the room. Like,
right. Like, I mean, we obviously covered Kennedy in U.S. history in high school and college, and I don't even think they showed the Zapruder film. Like, I've definitely seen it.
Super grainy. It's far away. Like, this was very graphic, you know. And I just think it's different. Like,
yeah, not something I need to see. Definitely not something I think 10-year-olds need to see in school. Probably not at all. They probably don't need to see that at all. But
no one needs to see this. That's kind
of right. Yeah,
that's my recommendation.
When people are talking about it, I'm like, why are you like? I mean, I enjoy horror films, but even I don't go out of my way to like watch snuff films. And people are like, because like that's what
I honestly didn't. I opened Twitter and there was like a far away angle that like was going around at first, and I was like, okay, you know, it wasn't like as shocked. Like then I saw a close up one. I was like, holy oh no. Fuck, dude. Yeah. Like, and like, I immediately, this is like before they cleared him dead, I was like, that guy died. Like, that was it. Like, there was no question in my mind.
Yes, and that's why I did not seek out the video, because so many people were like, I saw the video. He's not making it even before they announced it.
Yeah. Like, I saw so many people going, oh, he has a pulse. He's in critical condition. And I was like, there's text between me and my wife where she's like, so he's dead? And I was like, they're saying he's alive, but if you saw the video, he's dead. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no way you would survive what happened to him. Like, and you could pretty much see that he died right there. Like,
yes, I think that was the consensus from a lot of people. Like they probably didn't want to pronounce him dead on the site, but
yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah,
he was. Yeah, because again, like this is how I found out of but people were reacting to. Oh yeah, like. Oh, like there's a far away video and it doesn't look bad. And like, oh no, I saw the up close video. I'm like, why are there multiple angles here? But I guess it's like, boom.
They were probably
that's why
time, right?
I like the far away angle. I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks like he got hit or something. And I was like, so I wanted to see if there, you know, I wanted to see if there's more video. And then I found it and I was like, I was just not expecting it to be that like shocking. I was like, holy shit. Like, anyways,
yeah. Stay off the internet, folks. I think that's the takeaway. Is the internet's a bad place, bad videos, and also maybe don't send your kids to whatever school that was where they were showing it. That's insane. I don't know. I had marked this for last week. Our Secretary of what, Health and Human Services, is that what he is? I don't know. RFK. He was out there making news, and game sites were covering him because he's again opened the box of video games are maybe a possible cause of gun violence. I don't think we actually need to talk about him, though.
Yeah, like, so. What is there to say? No. This has been going on since the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, that's the easy thing to blame, because you're not going to do anything to actually prevent this from happening again.
Right. I do think you may see more political nonsense around the release of GTA next year. Just because it's a really easy target, right?
Like, yeah.
And I think not that GTA isn't violent, but a lot of these politicians think that all GTA is like you just run around and kill cops and shoot hookers. Like these, that's always what they say.
Fucking ancient, and I've never played a fucking video game. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, fuck off. Like,
yeah. It gets so rough. Anyway, we played some games this week. Jeff and Earl in particular played new games. But before we get to them, Tony, what Total War game were you playing over the last 2 weeks?
So I'm still playing through Total War Warhammer 3. I finished a campaign this week as the Skaven, who are the rat people. But for some reason, I don't know why, but the rat people have nuclear weapons. So it's the shortest campaign I've played.
And this is Warhammer, right? Not like Warhammer 40K, where it's in no, the future.
This is not. Yes. So you can there's this mechanic in the strategic map where you can build these weapons. And then when you get involved in an actual battle, you can use them in the middle of the battle. Now, Skaven, as I said, are rat people. Their biggest attribute is their ability to reproduce. So they their units have a really, really high replenishment rate, which means you don't really care how many guys they lose when you go into battle. So the biggest tactic for them is to literally just run right at the enemy and start fighting them so they can't run away while you shoot this giant nuclear weapon at them. my rats died. Well, you know what? I got lots more rats to replace those rats, but your guys are dead. So normally a Total War campaign takes, 35, 40 hours. I made it through the Skaven campaign in 8 hours. Just, nuking people. So
fun.
Yes.
That actually does sound fun, though. Like the being able to just have insane, you just send a mob of rats out and they basically hold the enemy at bay and then you drop a nuke on them.
So your army is so every army in Total War is 20 units. And I have 5 units that I've just designated as these are the guys who are going to die. That's what their role is. And then there's a bunch of guys, the Skaven for some other reason, have machine guns. And it's funny to watch them in action because the rats are shooting the machine guns and they're making a very machine gun sound. But the rat men are also going rat tat tat tat. They're saying the words as they're shooting the weapons. it's a whole theme. I don't know. But normally when you're in a battle, you're okay, I'm not going to shoot my weapons into this melee of guys. But again, I don't care if they die. So I'm okay, rat man, just shoot whoever you can shoot over in that big pile of people.
Fun.
Yes, it was quite enjoyable. It's the opposite of every other Total War campaign because you're I want to preserve my units. I want to make sure the good guys don't die. Whereas in the Skaven campaign, you're all right, you guys, your job is to die. That's literally why you're here. Sorry.
Go out. Your legacy will live on, though. Anything else besides Total War?
No, not really. Just lots of Total War. I have moved on to the Empire campaign, which is the humans.
Okay.
So, humans like artillery. Apparently, they like really big guns and blowing stuff up. So
that checks out, right? Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does align with us. I've not played a ton of anything. Bouncing because I picked up Metaphor again and was playing some of that. Been playing some Lost and Random for VG Club. That's a Game Pass game. And the most notable thing about Lost and Random is it's kind of one of those Tim Burton movies like Coraline or it's that come to life. You're playing through that sort of environment. It's very depressing, kind of downtrodden thing. The combat in Lost and Random is interesting though, because it's a card game, but also you control the character in real time. So she has a, I guess it's also a dice game. So you then roll your dice. The number that comes up is how many points you have to play. And then those points are what you can utilize as a weapon. So if you draw the sword card, you can play that for one. There's a hammer card for three, a bow card. And then there's different buffs and debuffs. And it's an interesting concept. I think some of the battles just take a little bit too long to go on. So I don't know. I don't know if I would recommend that one, even if I am enjoying playing it. I started up NCAA College Football 25, last year's version, which I think is on Game Pass.
It is.
That one's fun. Like, the football is decent enough. I like the atmosphere of the college football games. It's not broken like Madden, at least from what I've played so far, so that seems nice. I don't know. It's.
I think you also have the advantage of playing like the year old version where they fixed the bugs.
Yeah, everything's been fixed a year in. So yeah, that might be it. Like, it seems good, and like I'm just like playing like a game here or there, not like devoting a ton of time. But it seems like a very solid college football game. So
I can't speak to this too much, but when I did try it out, I think at some point, and I did appreciate that they got like the detail, like. Like, if you play at my school, like, you could see the apartment buildings that would be, like, right in the background there. They're, like, accurate. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, I just didn't expect them to do that. You know what I mean? But,
Like, they have, like, good environmental down to the details in the area. That's neat.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, there's the Lincolnshire West apartments. Like, you know, you can, like, identify them if you, like, really know. You know, like, I know this city, like, in and out, right? So I'm just looking at it. I'm like, they got it right. Like, that's crazy.
I should, like, poke around at some, maybe, like, the local schools that I've clicked. Temple plays at the Link, so that's just, like, that's where the Eagles play. So there's nothing really identifiable there. But there are, like, Villanova is near here. There's, like, some other, like, smaller colleges that have teams that are in the game, so... Yeah. Could be neat to like check them out and see how they compare to the other environments. All right. Well, that's it for Tony and I. We've been playing older games, but Jeff and Earl have been playing new games. Jeff, tell us about Chronos. Is it Chronos: The New Dawn?
Yes.
Yes. It's the new Looper team game.
Yeah. The guys that made Silent Hill 2, and I think it was, what was it, The Medium or something like that?
The Medium, yeah.
Yeah, which I did not, I played like 10 minutes of that. But so yeah, like Chronos: The New Dawn, man. It's like a brand new IP from them after they like really stepped up their game with Silent Hill 2. And like, I'm so close to declaring this game great. And I'm so close to declaring this game trash. It's just like, I'm like on that fucking, like on
the
that
classic Jeff right dilemma.
Yeah.
Classic so, Jeff.
So Jeff told me, it was like in the middle of the night. He's like, getting Chronos on Switch. Like, all right, cool. And then I was like, I very much like Jeff. I like this style of game. I was like, I'm thinking about getting it too, but then some of the reviews I heard, some of the commentary, I was like, I'm going to wait. So Jeff being a guinea pig on it sounded pretty good. He sounded really high on it. then it was like, now he wasn't so high on it.
I'm so all over the place. Like, first of all,
you're like a seesaw with it.
Yeah. Like, I want to really love it because it has incredible atmosphere, incredible music, incredible sound design, and it is a pure survival horror. Like, it's not super actiony like Dead Space, even though it kind of looks like Dead Space at points, you know what I mean? It's like pure survival horror, and it looks incredible. Like, and that's the funny thing is, like, I bought it on the Switch, so obviously it's going to be a huge downgrade visually from the other versions, but I just liked the idea of having a brand new survival horror game on the Switch, and I do think the game does look good for a Switch 2 game. I'm like, it looks pretty solid. I think my complaints about it are kind of similar to the complaints I'd have about Silent Hill 2, which is that, one, turn on the fucking lights! And two...
Question for you. So I told you what I did with Silent Hill 2, which is like up the up the kind of brightness and contrast on it. It does it give you that option at the beginning? Like, is it like, to give you the little box? It's like, hey, make this middle box like clear, and it's like, I always fuck it up and go the other way.
I don't think it did.
Okay, so it doesn't even have that one. That would make it too dark, because like a lot of horror games just go way too dark.
Like, I went looking for brightness settings, and the only thing I could find was gamma, and I was like, I don't know. I just didn't fuck with it. I just left it. But
got it.
And then the other thing is that it is quite challenging, and there is no difficulty modes. Like, it's basically your default difficulty mode is hard, and that's all there is. And like, if you beat the game, you could like unlock very hard, which I don't know why you would want that. Because it's true survival horror. You're short-changed on ammo and all that. Like, it's very hard. Like, you know, you have to go back out and, like, say I just got bolt cutters, right? And I was like, I had to remember that way, way earlier, like an earlier door that was locked, like, across town. And I went back and, okay, great. I got, like, two fucking bullets. Thanks. Like, meanwhile, I had to, like, avoid 10 fucking enemies trying to kill me on the way there. And so, I think Bloober is like a little too confident in their combat. Like, it's just like, it's not as good as you think it is. And it's kind of miserable combat encounters. And I was stuck on like all night tonight. Like, my wife fell asleep super early, like at like 6 o'clock. So I'm just sitting there playing this, and I'm at this big boss now. And I was fighting him all night, and I was ready to come in here and tell you, fuck this game. But 10 minutes before.
Then you beat it.
Yes. And it was a very typical survival horror boss in that, like, you're locked in an apartment with him. He's chasing you all around the apartment. There's, like, canisters all over the place that you could blow up that will stun him. And then when he's stunned, you could see his like shiny, like his glowy spots that you're supposed to shoot. But you're doing this with like very limited ammo, like so sometimes just running out and being like, "Well, that's it. Like, I'm not gonna be able to melee him to death." Which you could do in fucking Resident Evil. Like, you could try to melee him. I just don't think it's gonna work. And you know, his attacks are very powerful. Like, if you get hit like 3 times by something in this game, you're dead. I'm going back and forth. I'm trying like this over and over and over, slamming my head against the wall. I finally remembered that back at the save point, you could buy ammo. I was like, oh yeah, I can buy ammo. I have some money, so I bought like the 4 shotgun shells that I could buy. I was like, hell yeah. Still could not beat him. Then I was like, wait, what if I focus on the pistol? Because I've upgraded the pistol more than the shotgun. And this game wants you to use charged shots. Like, it wants you to hold down the R2 button. And it's a much more powerful shot. It just takes longer to get off. But I had upgraded my pistol's charged shot so that it charged a little faster. So there's that. And then I was like, well, I could keep my distance from him a lot better, not doing a shotgun. So I'm spamming them with fucking, I think I had like, I don't know, like 11 fucking handgun bullets. And then there's a couple you could find in the apartment as you're running around in fucking circles. And yeah, like right before, like 10 minutes before, I got them by just switching and focusing on the pistol. But it still wasn't easy. And I still almost died. And I'm just like, man, like, I'm hoping that like you get over a hump with this where you, cause you know, it's like Dead Space where you at the safe stations, you could go and like upgrade your suit, you know, make your suit like, you know, take more damage and stuff like that. So I'm hoping like you get over a hump and eventually you just have enough resources, but it's like, so far I find it very challenging. And I just kind of like if they had given a difficulty, like an easy mode, I would have switched to it pretty quickly. Cause I just, it's the same way I felt about, like, in Silent Hill 2. There would be parts in Silent Hill 2 where, like, they just threw too many enemies in a small area, and it just wasn't fun. And but in Silent Hill 2, you could adjust that and be like, make the combat easy. Well, you can't do that here. I mean, at the very least, the combat here does feel a little bit better in Silent Hill 2 because you're not swinging a fucking pipe at these things. Like, you got guns.
Right.
But, so, like, yeah, man, I'm still on the fence. Like, I don't want to declare one way or the other, but, like, what I would say right now is that I think the game has a lot going for it. It's just there's frustrations to it. And so, like, I'm just curious to see how I'm going to feel as I get deeper into it. I do feel like if you're a fan of the genre, it's worth checking out. Like, I think, Chris, like, you would probably end up liking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just be prepared, you know, it's going to test you a little bit. Like, if you are not familiar with survival horror games, you don't want to play this. Like, you start with something else, because this kind of requires you to be familiar with the genre a little bit.
It's like everything about it kind of like leans towards like me liking it, but I do think, like, you know, there's a lot of games coming out. There's a lot of games already to play. So it's like, maybe I wait for this one for like this, you know, the Thanksgiving sale the early winter sale where it's $35 instead of 70 or.
Hey, I paid 60 instead of 70. So there was
paid 60 on the Switch. Yeah. So.
And only 17 gigs.
It's actually not that big.
So I do wonder what it is like on Xbox. I didn't look, but I'm sure it's way more.
Yeah, because it probably does like stupid lighting effects and stuff.
Yeah,
which will make it look significantly better. But yeah,
yeah. But like I said, like for the most part, like I don't regret that I bought it on Switch 2 because I'm just like, this is for a Switch 2 game. This might be like the best looking Switch 2 game I've played. It's just I know that it does not look as good as the other versions. It's the way it is. But not a bad port of it, or whatever you want to call it.
Yep. All right. Well, so that was Chronos the New Dawn. Jeff, you've also been playing Everybody's Golf. Does that have a subtitle? Or
it's Everybody's Golf Hot Shots. So they took like the Japanese title, Everybody's Golf, and the North American title, Hot Shots, and just combined it.
Yeah.
I got that for the Switch 2 as well. So I don't know if anyone else has played this series. Like, this is my first time playing this series. I don't know if you guys have played Hot Shots before.
I had.
Years ago.
Okay. So, it's, you know, new to me, but I love golf. I love simulation golf. I love arcade golf. You know, I'm happy to play any golf game. And, you know, this is kind of a beloved series, but this is a new developer tackling it. And it seems like a lot of people are disappointed with what they did. As my understanding is that there was a Hot Shots or an Everybody's Golf. I forgot which one it was called in 2018 on PS4. That was super ambitious and people loved. And this is kind of a more stripped back, kind of like their PS Vita entries or whatever the fuck else it was on. But there is a ton of fucking, like, this is a deep single player golf game that you will get plenty of hours out of. It's just at first, like, especially at first, it is like impossible. Like, it is surprisingly hard for an arcade golf game. So like Mario Golf is one of the few arcade golf games that doesn't have the accuracy window at the end of your shot. You just select the power and that's it. Like, you just let the meter go up, hit A at the top, right? And hopefully you judged everything right and judged your spin and all that, right? This, you have to hit the accuracy window at the end. And it is very, very hard to land within the accuracy window at the end of the shot. And unfortunately, if you land outside of the accuracy window, it's not just fucking up your accuracy, it's fucking up your whole, like, so you could be teeing off at full power, right? But if you miss the accuracy window at the end, the ball's gonna go like 5 feet in front of you. Like, I just feels like totally unfair. Like, it should go It should go to distance, but it should end up in a fucking bunker or something, you know what I mean? Or in a water hazard. It shouldn't just fucking dribble 2 feet in front of you because you missed the accuracy window. Like, I disagree with that. Like, I just think that's not right design.
Yeah.
But, you know, you play and you level up your accuracy and you just get used to it. Like, you start to, like, really be able to nail the window. And you start to get a hang of the game, and it's... I find it to be a pretty solid arcade golf game with a lot to it. It's just, it's also confusing though how progression works, because there's a challenge mode, and that's what's like the top thing. Like, if you're looking at your menu, it's like challenge, this, you know, multiplayer, whatever. And there's a world tour mode, which is like basically the story mode that they've never had before. And so, like, I had read, like, basically challenge mode is really it. And I'm playing challenge mode, I'm like working through it, like, you know, going through the amateur tournament, going through the semi-pro tournament. I'm not unlocking any character. Like, I have 2 characters. I'm like, what is going on here? You have to bounce between story mode and challenge mode in order to, like, progress. Like, once you fight a golfer in challenge mode, then you have to go play their story in story mode to unlock them, to just be able to play as them. Like, you know, if you want to play multiplayer with your friends or whatever. So I found, like, the progression to be very confusing at first.
Right.
But it's also kind of slow at first, even if you know what you're doing. But I've probably got a good 10, 15 hours into it, and I'm, like, really super into the game now, and I think it's a lot of fun. And I don't have that 2018 one to compare it to be disappointed. You know what I mean? Although right. I am tempted to buy the PS4 one, because I think it's, like, $20 or something. I was just like, I just kind of want to see, like, you know, what's so cool about it. But I think this is a very solid arcade golf game, but just with a sharp learning curve, or, like, just adjustment. I'm just telling you, like, my friend bought it too, and he's, like, barely touched it because he's like, dude, I cannot hit the accuracy window. I'm like, trust me, dude. One, go to the shop and buy a bunch of food that improves your accuracy window. And also, you'll just get used to it. And it's just like he hasn't. And that's like where me and him and my wife are like coming off of playing Mario Golf, like the recent Mario Golf, for years. So we're so used to that. And that game is like, to be honest, like, I love it. I'm one of the few people that love Mario Golf, the new one. But it's if we're being honest, it's a little too easy. And this brings some challenge to it. I like it a lot. I think it was a $40 game.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think if you're super familiar with the series and really like the last one, I guess it's a letdown for people. But for me, it went from being like, ooh, I don't know about this. This is like impossible and not great, to like, now that I'm a few hours in, I'm like, yeah, I will probably sink 100 hours into this. So.
Is there like a lot of courses?
Yeah, and then you will unlock more. Like, there is a lot of content. There really is. And I feel like I've just scratched the surface of it, but it just seems obvious that there's a lot. And the more you bounce back and forth between the modes, you're going to unlock courses. You're going to unlock characters. You're going to unlock special wacky balls.
Nice.
I think I have a new ball now that is like called the accuracy ball. So it's like, you get, if you land in the window, you get, which they shrink the window, so it's harder to hit. But I'm using it because if you land in the window, you get perfect accuracy. Like, you're gonna, except for that one shot I showed you last night. I don't know. God, that was frustrating.
Yeah. Jeff sent me a clip. He hit the ball and it like looked like it was going right towards where it needed to, but then it rolled off and rolled down onto another course.
it just
kept going.
It landed on the green, rolled off the green, rolled to another hole and landed on that hole's green. And so, like, because you're on the green, you're like locked into using the putter. And there was no way I could putt hard enough to get back up the hill. So my entire round was shot. I had like a perfect round up to that point.
It was so funny too, because it's like, nice shot.
Yeah, like, it looks like a perfect shot. Then it hits your green, it hit the green I was going for, and just fucking rolled right off. I was like, shit.
Guess I can't get back to where I need to be.
I couldn't. I was just like, fuck this. And then I think I just started playing Slay the Spire because I was about ready for bed.
Well, that's everybody's golf hot shots. That is not confusing at all.
It is a cautious recommend for me. Like, you have to have the patience to get used to it, but I think if you like arcade golf, it's worth checking out.
And Earl, you are playing Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. I think this might appeal to all of us here. So, I mean, lay it on us. How is that game?
I think we're all fans of Survivor here, and this is Vampire Survivor via the Deep Rock Galactic games, which I talked about. Game I think really want. I talked about it here before. I played the actual 3D shooter-esque mining game. I don't know what you call it. I mean, it's a shooter essentially.
Yeah.
And I, off the back, I will say that this is not Vampire Survivor to me, and so far, and that like, Vampire Survivor, part of the appeal, part of the strategy for that is like different weapon combinations you can get. So like, oh, you know, if you get the Bible and you get this, it creates this other thing. Unless I'm missing something, I don't think that's how this game operates. This operates more on like a linear upgrade path. Like you can unlock weapons by maxing out a weapon you have, but it's not, it's in like, the weapons you have, I think, upgrade at level 8, level 12, and level 18, I think, is the max for any one weapon. And that works, you know, like, you can do, you have elements, you can add fire, electricity, cold, kinetic energy, and stuff like that. But there's no combination that I've saw so far. So, again, I'll explore. That aside, I'm really, really having a ton of fun with this. Again, I do enjoy this type of game. I do enjoy this universe as well. It has a weird, crude sense of humor to it. I'm not crude. I don't want to say because crude makes me think of like Borderlands. It just has a very goofy sense of humor to it. But yeah, this is Vampire Survivor. If you play that game, you kind of know what to expect. You start off.
What is the distinction you're talking about though? With the
Vampire Survivor. Weapons? Vampire Survivor. You like in order to get certain weapons, you have to combine certain power ups.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's not how this operates.
This is an auto upgrade. It's like so if you have like let's just say like a pistol, it upgrades at like what 8, 12, and 18, is that what you said?
Yeah. Earl? Yeah.
Does so it like, get cooler looking like Vampire Survivors does, where like it's just taking up the whole screen and shit?
So far, not really. Cause again, it's so far everything I've done it's basically either gonna be a gun or like a grenade so far. So like you'll see, like, I've had ice grenades and it freezes people. But there's not, like, that ring around you where you're throwing out Bibles and crosses and having things skydive at you so far.
Yeah, see, I think I'd miss that a little bit because I just love how crazy it starts to get. Yeah.
Yes. And again, it's really cool because then you also, like, part of that for me with, because I'm a huge fan of like, the Guard, for example, but just having, like, that radius around you so you have an idea of, like, where you're hitting. This is more like guns are just kind of firing off, and I've not gotten to the point where I've done the whole, oh, I'm just going to like stand still and have enemies come to me, and then they're just going to eat death walking towards me. But you do get, you know, stuff like that. Like I completed my first run today. I think this is on Game Pass. I played it on Game Pass yesterday, and I completed my first run. I think in my fourth try, and like that was I had like fire bullets in like a gap in gun or. And like you just saw, like you just see the gun firing, you just see a bunch of like you know fire streaming, and then like one of the guns I upgrade to again, like Vampire Survivor is like one of those that kind of shoots in four different directions, so that you're always like if you know part of it is like you're moving to get stuff, so you always want something to shoot behind you or around you, so you can't necessarily get cornered or it's not like you're trying to walk backwards. I think one of the bigger differences from Vampire Survivor again is also the structure. Vampire Survivor tends to be like one stage and you just try to survive that stage until you finish. This one, each stage has like a quest, and it's not
like kill a boss or
yeah, basically all of them have been kill enough enemies that the boss spawns, kill the boss, and then if you pay Deep Rock, you have to get to the mining equipment so that you can ascend. So like the first area I'm in had five different levels. So you do all that, you defeat that boss, you go down to the next level, you know, rinse and repeat different bosses and stuff like that, different layouts, different strategies. But like, it's one of those things where, like, okay, so like the first few, you know, it's easier, it's more simple. So what I started to do is like, you spend a lot more time mining resources because you get the nitrate and you get the gold, and that's what you use to, you get upgrades when you collect XP. There's drop pods that you can get an automatic artifact from. But then in between levels with the gold and nitrate, you can also buy upgrades for your guns, your character and stuff like that. You can heal up in between that. And then you go down. So like by the time you get to like the third level, that's kind of when you want to focus more on one of the fun strategies here is like the game part of it is mining. So you have structures you can break through. So like part of that is creating paths for yourself so you don't get bottlenecked, or creating paths that just fit you so that other creatures get, like the bigger creatures get bottlenecked because they have to break through it. So you can kind of shoot them while they're breaking through it, and they'll also prevent other people from necessarily getting to you as fast. So that's part of the strategy, is like figuring that stuff out. Like breaking some health and stuff ahead of time. Again, like Vampire Survivor. So that you kind of have an idea of where it is if you desperately need it, or like, okay, I'm going to like go in a huge circle to kind of bring this horde around so I can grab something and take people out. But then I can also collect all of this stuff from the people who die going in this giant circle with me. So again, that is a ton of fun. Like I said, I'm having a ton of fun with it. Again, like Vampire Survivor, or I guess any rogue, like you also have an overall unlock. There's two tiers here. There's an upgrade tree that's for any character. There's four characters. Well, you start with one character. I've unlocked the second character. There's two more character types. You have an overall unlock upgrade tree that is for all characters, and that's your basic. More damage, you know, gain like passive HP, gain, you know, faster mining, faster speed. And then you have equipment, which is like you get slots and you can put like, this makes you mine faster and run faster or whatever. And that goes per character, not necessarily. And then as you do that, you unlock different starter weapons for those characters and stuff like that. So, you know, I've done 4 or 5 runs so far, really enjoying it, really enjoying my time. I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, I think Walt said this in the chat as well. There are times when the game will throw a bunch, like when you get further and further, the time in between the waves just get like, you always have an enemies, but like every so often, like there's a horde coming and there's a bunch of enemies that would just come and attack you. And as you get further and further, like that goes from like every 5 minutes, like every minute. And there's times when there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of creatures on the map, and the game does not like that. It does not like, it's not like it's, it will chug. And you will notice it, but it's not like it's gonna break the game. It's just really like, oh yeah, like you folks need to cure out a lot of stuff here because everything here is just movement at half speed.
That's I experienced that in Vampire Survivors too. Like when shit starts going really crazy.
Because it's that, it's keeping track of your powers, it's keeping track of what's dying. Like there's a bunch of like independent little AIs running and stuff like that. So I get it. It's just I would want to point it out. Like it's not a deal break. It's not. It's just I notice it, and I don't usually notice these things.
Visually, it's like top down 3D models.
Yes. So yeah, basically, I assume they probably just took the models from the game. And
yeah, like, yeah.
But yeah, it's 3D. It's fully 3D. There are. Yeah. I mean, these are essentially twin stick shooters without the shooting part.
Yep. Yeah, they're what is the name that they've, the auto shooter? So I think what the description for Deep Rock Galactic calls it.
Okay.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's like it's a twin stick shooter game that doesn't use the sticks. So you're just controlling your movement and kind of navigating that way.
Yeah, and it works. It's a I think, you know, when we discussed Vampire Survivor, it's one of those things where I remember seeing it, like seeing that, and I'm like, I don't, like, you're not doing anything. And once you get your hand on it, I'm like, oh, you're doing so much. Again, a lot of it is strategy and like placing yourself either in between enemies or ahead of enemies. And then, especially with the bosses here, which do change up how you interact with stuff, because the bosses will have different attacks. They won't be as affected by some of your abilities. Like the final boss in the first stage is the Dreadnought. And that's one of those creatures that can, I think it's the only creature I've met so far that can actually leap across the screen at you. So like sometimes it may like even if you have a short distance, that's its main attack, and then later on it will start spitting out something that spawns enemies at you, and then it will start making like destroying paths, which is actually good and bad because you can kind of get trapped. But at the same time, if there's anything in between there, like it will help dig it up for you, because you also dig up like you dig up gold and nitrate, but you also dig up other resources which you then use as part of the upgrade once you finish your run.
Should also note that if you like achievements or you like games with lots of achievements, this one has all of the achievements. It has 300 baseline achievements. So there's a lot going on, lots to unlock in that game.
I'll have to check it out. I love Vampire Survivors, so why not?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a go. I installed it on, so I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah, I recommend it.
And that is it for what we've been playing. Next week we're gonna have another one of our video game movie rankings, House of the Dead. Go ahead, Earl.
I apologize. I'm incorrect. I think the next movie is actually Cradle of Life. It's Tomb
Raider. Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life. Let me check where that is
available.
I think it's worth noting.
House of the...
I mean, while he looks this up, I will say I have this rule of thumb. I rather watch a bad movie than a forgettable movie. And I think Cradle of Life is just one of those movies that kind of exists. Where House of the Dead is...
It's bad. It's a bad movie.
It's a bad movie. But part of its charm, and we will get to this more when we discuss the movie, is for some unknown reason, they decide to use actual video game footage in the movie. And it's the most jarring cuts ever.
I do remember that, yes. So that is not what we're watching, though, next week. We're watching the second Angelina Jolie movie, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. That is a mouthful. It is available on Hoopla. So that is the free library kind of streaming service. You have to have a library card, and hopefully it's accessible for you from there. Otherwise, that's where it's free. it is available elsewhere for rent for like $3, but it's free on Hoopla. And we'll be watching that and talking about it. I had an idea, had a thought for us. It is not my original idea, but podcast I was listening to talked about another show ranking the 40 best Mario games. What was that, Earl?
I assume that's any Mario, because isn't that 40 mainline Mario games?
No, it's any Mario game. I would say any game that has Mario in the title, like. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't include like any of the NES sports games where Mario's like a ref. Like, I wouldn't count those. But
we could add.
How dare you?
We can add Mario teaches typing.
Punch out, baby.
Yeah, Mario teaches typing. You know, Mario Paint. Anything like that, we could add in.
Did you guys play Mario Paint when you were kids?
I did not.
I did.
It's available now, right?
I know. Like, I used to really like it, despite having like no real artistic ability.
Some people just like the goofiness, because it's not just like, yeah, it's not just paint. You do music and stuff like that too.
I would create nonsense. Like, I didn't know how to create good music. Like, of course you could, like, look up how to do songs.
Yeah.
Just create noise.
I'm curious from a logistical standpoint, what is the setup here?
I don't know. Like, we would rank the 40, our 40 best. So, like, Mario games, and then we whittle it down.
Do we all bring Mario games, or do we come in? Because, like, I assume if we came in with, like, a 10, it's just going to be mostly the platformers.
Yeah, well, so let's those are already included. They would all, like, let's put them as a discussion piece. So anything from, like, Super Mario Brothers through Odyssey, all those are in there. And then we can bring any other Mario games that we want. Like, Jeff wants to bring Mario Golf, have at it.
Including Mario Golf Advanced Tour, baby.
Yeah, like whatever one, right? What was the? You're gonna bring all the Mario Golfs.
I would say the Game Boy Advance one. Incredible.
All the sports ones, yeah.
I mean, technically speaking, they all count. I mean, my head is just going to, it's going to be so, like, top 30. It's going to be so heavy platformer, RPGs, kart racers.
I mean, I assume that that's what we're going to end up at. But I figure we probably have some other favorites of ours that may slip in. Like, maybe Jeff throws a Mario Party in there somewhere. Or
Mario Paint.
Sure.
People really still love that game, and it's just like, it was cool at the time.
Mario DDR.
I mean, if you want to make an argument for Mario DDR, for sure. I did not know that was a thing. So.
Oh, I. Yeah, yeah. The only DDR game I owned. I'm trying to think of, like, obscure Mario game. I mean, there's a ton of them. He's been in everything.
Yeah.
I was on Blue Sky the other day talking about, like, there was a time when Puzzles and Dragons was just such a huge, massive franchise that they somehow got Nintendo to do a Mario edition, and Nintendo does not jump with anybody for Mario games like that. Stuff like that. I'm very curious to go through this, because there's, again, I think the RPGs are up there. I would bring Mario Tennis from the GameCube. I'm kind of curious, and I assume it's mostly, like, where does Luigi Mansion fall in this? Does that does not count?
So I would say no. I was a little, yeah. Let's. Okay. It's like, yeah, like Smash Brothers. I would say no. Let's keep it to Mario's in the title.
Okay.
So, like, that's a Luigi game. And he can have his flowers a different day. Or never. I don't like Luigi, but
wow.
ouch,
but
tuck that in there too.
right. It's like yes, we'll do that, but maybe not. No, I mean, if you guys were really, like, into Luigi and wanted to rank his stuff, we could do that. We'll bring some Mario games. The core titles off on the side, they definitely will be debated. Could even say, if you want, we could put, like, the kart racers up there, as well as RPGs, if you want.
I was gonna say, I'd put them up there, but it's more because calling a spade a spade. Like, I don't think Sunshine, I think that's spinoffs I'd put way before Sunshine. There's games I'd put before, like, some of the new Super Mario Brothers. That I'm curious to see where some of these end up.
Sure.
I'm actually even curious where, like, the top.
What are Super Mario Brothers in the trash?
Super Mario Brothers is an interesting one. Yes, I'm curious to see how this goes. I'm very curious. So I shall start work on that.
Yeah. So bring some Mario games. We'll work that out and come up with a weird top 40. I'm sure it will be an interesting one by the end of it. And there's games coming. I think most of them actually, they start coming out next week. So I don't know if we'll have played any of the new stuff, from Thursday or certainly not. Is that next week too?
Is that really next week? Soon?
Holy Whoa, crap. That's
really? So wow. Soon.
Wait, is that next week? It's I know Endless Legend 2 is next week. That's on Game Pass. Excited for that.
No idea.
Lots of stuff coming out.
I'll be stuck on the second boss of Kronos.
Jeff will come back. I hate this game.
Madder than hell, yeah.
Ghost of Yotai is October 2nd, same day as Galaxy and Galaxy 2.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot. So much stuff.
You know, I keep waiting for that original Ghost. What is the original one? Tsushima.
Tsushima, yeah.
It never goes on sale.
It's on super discount right now.
Is it really?
There you go, Jeff.
Thank you.
Give it a go.
What is it? How much is it?
I'm looking it up for you. Ghost of Tsushima. $20.
No way.
Yep. $20. So
they heard your piece, Jeff. They heard you.
Dude, I've been like I keep checking it like all the time. Why do this? Oh, I'll have to take a look, but just looking at there it is. Wait.
it's definitely on sale.
Definitely. Director's Cut $70. Ghost of Tsushima Legends $20.
That's the multiplayer stuff, right?
Yeah, you don't want that one.
Director's Cut $60. I'm looking just like on my phone. Like I'm hoping, is it like a thing where you need PlayStation Plus to get the discount, or is it
that might be. I do have PlayStation Plus, so it shows.
It doesn't say it, but I'll check. But if it is true, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, I think it's 1979, and then you can upgrade to the director's cut for an extra $10. So it would be like $30 if you want the like nice version. But
also at the same time, I just have too many games.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Assassin's Creed Shadows. I still have that. I'm gonna have that forever.
Yep, lots of games. We're gonna play them. But next week it will be Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. That is so many words for a movie title. And Mario's Top 40. So join us next week, and we'll also have some news on some programming changes for how we're going to be delivering the podcast. But we'll talk about that then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.